Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. So we thank you, Jesus, for your presence. Thank you, dear God, for just being in this place. And Heavenly Father, we just pray to God that you would speak to us. Hallelujah, dear God, that you would speak to us in such a way, God, that we would not walk out of this place the same, but we will be transformed by your Spirit. Amen. Anybody want to be transformed by the Spirit of God? Do I got anybody that really wants God to move in their life? Anybody get tired of doing the same thing after a while? I know people were tired of quarantine, but let me say this without being offensive. Sometimes we get in quarantine in our spirit and we just stay in the same spot. And you don't do too much. But God wants us to wake up out of that. Amen. Last week, God gave me the title for today's message, and it was New Creation. And I was just thinking about it. Like, how many of us, you know, we've all accepted Christ in here, right? We've all accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. But it's another thing to be made into a new creation. I believe that God wants to make us new daily. Amen. God is continuing to make us new. And one of the fancy words that us church people use for that is sanctification. Everybody say sanctification, which is the process of being sanctified. And if you don't like me putting a word in there, the process of being made into his image. And that's a daily thing. But many times we get, I don't know, I feel like sometimes we get lulled to sleep, like, oh, we just go here, go there, have church service, pray for somebody if they need it. But we got to do more so God can do more. Amen. We got to submit to God. And I'm going to just talk about a few things that I saw in the Word of God regarding some of the people that, or just the ways that we see the new creation. And obviously our church, it's called New Creation Christian Center, right? And we believe that no matter what you come in here like, God wants to make you new. You can live a life that's, I mean, I don't really care what you're living now. I don't really care how you're living, but I believe that the power of God can transform lives. Amen. So if they keep pushing all these different agendas and all these different things, we know that God is able to change people. Amen. So we're going to go to the theme scripture of today, and that is 2 Corinthians 5:17. And actually, I'm going to read 17 and 18. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, somebody say, that's me, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. One of the things that I pray for our church is that God would allow us to reconcile people. That's the people that have failed. Maybe they were walking with God at one point and they fell into the wayside. And my prayer is that God, those same people, don't allow us to just keep throwing stones at them while they're down there. Help us be the ones to pick them up. Right? We want to see people be made new, even if they haven't came to Christ. Have you ever looked at, let's just look through these eyes that we look through sometimes. Have you ever looked at somebody and be like, oh man, there's no hope for them? Sometimes we do that. We say, oh, man, it's hopeless. There's no way. Nobody can get to him. We watched the movie last night, and this movie was called The Secret Handshake. And in this movie, it was a kid. His father had passed away, and he started acting up, doing a whole bunch of things. And one of the kids, that boy, he went to a school with another family's daughter, and he TP'd their house, threw toilet paper all over it. And then she had got invited to be in this band, and he had his underwear on, but he ran through the whole thing, right, and ran through the whole thing just to take her stick and her flag. And the mom was like, you need to do something. You need to show this boy. And the dad was just like, I don't know how I should react to this. He's like, I did some weird things too when I was a kid, right? But he ends up spending time with this kid because he was like, he needs a mentor. He was getting involved in some other stuff, and I'm not going to share the rest of it. The movie is actually a funny movie. You guys can go check it out. It's on Amazon for free, but it was called The Secret Handshake. But what we see is that this father wanted to step into somebody's life who many had written off. And this kid wasn't even that bad. I mean, to me, that's not that bad, right? We've seen worst. But God, see, this is the powerful thing about God. When God gets involved, he can change anybody. He could change anybody. He could change, I mean, Tanya, I love Tanya's testimony because she used to say, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. And she's not the only one. There's a lot of people that were not even wanting to do anything with God. And God said, hold up. I have a plan for your life. The Bible says that for God has a plan for all of us, right? His plans are to prosper us, not to harm us. Plans to give us a hope and a future. He wants to be involved in our lives. But it happens to be this one thing that we must do because God does not force himself, so we must surrender. Somebody say surrender. See, in order for, as it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. I have to surrender to get in Christ. I got to get rid of my thoughts, my ways, and say, God, I'm going to submit to you. I'm going to be in you, and now you're going to make me new. Right? There's this pastor this week that he repented about preaching the half gospel, and he was like, we're preaching the gospel so people can get things, and it's more than just getting things. See, we don't come to God just so we can get our bills paid. We don't come to God just so we can get, God, I need you to move in this situation. And guess what? We might have situations like that, but we have to come to God to know God. Yeah, we want to know him, and when we know him, that's when he makes us new. Yeah, all right? So it also says he is reconciling. That means he's making things right in us. I don't know about you. I know that there's some things that God has to make right in me. Still, right? I got another story to tell about as a neighbor, and I don't know about you guys, since there's no gyms open, we don't really get to go to the gyms. You know, there's not a lot of places to work out, so we worked out in our parking lot. Now, we do have a rule that you're not supposed to be playing in a parking lot, but, you know, it's like there's nowhere to go, right? So one of my neighbors came out and was, why are you guys out here playing? And I'm like, I'm not playing. I'm working out. You know, this is real. This is the real deal. And she's like, no, I got to get up early. And she was going off. And I was just like, okay. You know, like I pretty much, when I start saying okay like that, I'm not listening to nothing else you're saying. I'm just like, okay. So then that bothered me. First of all, the couple things, I think I'm like my dad. When people talk to me in certain ways, I don't like it, right? So I was already bothered that she would come to me like that, and I'm like, why is this lady tripping? Like, usually she's really cool with me, right? So, you know, I didn't say too much. I was like, well, babe, I guess we'll have to go work out somewhere else. I don't know where, but we'll figure it out. And it was on my spirit the whole weekend to go apologize to this lady. And I'm like, Yeah, right. I wasn't doing nothing wrong. But then in me, God is working because they got that little rule that says you can't play. You know, my kids were out there, so obviously they might have been screaming and yelling or whatever. So I was like, I'm going to apologize. So I went and apologized to the lady. And she's shocked. Like, what? That was you out here? She didn't even know it was me, right? She was like, I'm sorry. No, I said, I'm sorry. The rules say we can't play in this area. You know, I thought it was quarantine and, you know, we were trying to stay home and all that. Didn't think it bothered anybody. I'm sorry for keeping you up or whatever. I just wanted to let you know I apologize. And she was like, oh, no, I didn't have no problems with you. Da-da-da-da. And it's the other kids that, and I'm like, no, that's all right. I don't want to be in that category. But it took a lot from me to do that. But I wanted to make things right on my end. The Bible says as long as it depends upon us, be at peace with all men. And some people might be like, man, but you know, but I was like, look, I just got to do the right thing. So now I walk up to Renton Technical College's parking lot and work out there. So I get a walk and a workout, right? But what it shows me is I don't do things to be right with people. I want to be right with God. Even the little things that we do. There was a time where me and my friend, we were getting shoes imported from other countries and selling them. And I was on the internet, and one time it said, oh, that's illegal. And I was like, oh, man, we're making money, though. Golly. And then I was like, I told my friend, we can't do it no more. It's illegal. And he was like, okay, cool, we're good. So we stopped. But it stopped income coming in. And I don't know, sometimes I even watch some of those movies where somebody makes a step in faith and they're, hey, the spouse is like, but that's going to mess up our income. Do you really have to do that? Yes, we really do. Because we want God to be pleased with what we do. So I can't cheat on my hours, can't cheat on my taxes, right? You can write as many things as you can off, but don't be the cheater, right? Because we are being made new. There's still something inside of each and every one of us that God is saying, okay, I need to fix that. So my question is, how are we being made new? When we think about this walk with Christ, what is he doing or saying to us in this season that is making us new? Because we got to get to a place where God is continuing to make us new and we're allowing him to do so. There's nothing worse than the Spirit of God speaking to you and you avoiding. Or you being like, I'm not changing. How many of us know people that are never going to change? They're like, I'm not changing. There's no way. Look, I did this for 500 years. Ain't no way we're going to change. That's called what? Tradition. And sometimes people get stuck in tradition. And there's good traditions, but there's bad traditions. But we don't want to be so stuck in our ways that we miss his way. Amen? There's a testimony, and I'm going to talk about this just a little bit today. There's a testimony in being made new. How many of you know somebody that saw you before you got saved, and then after you got saved, they're like, hey, bro, you're not even the same, right? You're not the same as you used to be. There's something, man, we used to go da-da-da-da, and now, man, don't call him. He's not like that no more. Listen, I tried to talk to this guy and do this, and nah, he's not like that. Why? Because God has made us new. That testimony speaks volumes to somebody that doesn't know Christ, right? That testimony, when all the other guys are looking at all these ladies out there, and you're like, nah, I don't do that, man. I don't look at people like that. And they're like, why? Because God, I want to honor God. They be like, man, you're crazy. Right, but then years later, they'll come back and be like, man, I appreciate that stance that you stood for God. Why? Because it's easy to do what everybody else does. But when you make a stance for Christ, that is a testimony that's going to speak. And I'm going to talk about Paul today. But briefly, we even look at Gideon. Gideon, they found Gideon. How did they find Gideon? Anybody know? Hiding. Why was he hiding? He was scared. So that means Gideon was really a man of fear. But when God, oh man, listen, when God got a hold of him, he didn't become a fearful man. He became a warrior of a man. Right? He became a strong man. He led the nation. See, when Moses was very prideful. How do we know that? Because first of all, he was raised up in the Pharaohs. They actually thought they were gods. So he was raised up like this, and he even tried to fix things in his own strength. But then God had to have him. He ran away, didn't know who he was, and God had to give him a new identity. Amen. Somebody say new.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
Moses also was one of the most humble men that we see. Spent a lot of times in the presence of God. It said that his face began to glow because he spent so much time in God's presence. So there's a testimony in being made new. And we're going to go to Acts chapter 9. I'm going to read some of this chapter. And this is when we get to see Saul. Not only did God change Saul, he changed him. He even changed his name. Some of us need a name change. And I'm not talking about going to the place and getting it done. But see, somebody should say something about you that's different because you gave your life to Christ. Man, that person is powerful before they were pitiful. Right? Right? I'm just saying, like, they should say something. If you were scared all the time, if you were fearful, guess what? God does not want you to operate in the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. That should be your new name. Your name changes because God comes in you. So briefly before this, Saul had just been, Saul, first of all, Saul was educated in the ways of the Pharisees, right? He was one, he knew all the stuff. He trained, he read the scriptures, he knew it front to back, and he fought for what he thought was right. There's groups of people even today that they believe something and they're going to fight for it, right? They fight for it. They'll argue for it. But sometimes you could be misinformed. And Saul was misinformed because, see, he thought he was the cream of the crop. He thought he had it all together, but he had to get knocked down. It says, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. And Jesus says, even somebody that thinks it is a murderer. But Paul had already just, you know, was already involved in murdering some people, right? So it says, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. He went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? That's one of the key things in getting to know God is, God, what do you want me to do? See, we get saved and we're like, okay, God, now just take care of my life. Make sure it's all good. I want a house right here. You know what I mean? I want my family to be safe. if I can get that Escalade, that'll be great. You know, we got all these things, but we don't ask God, God, what do you want me to do? And that's the very thing God is asking of us. Surrender your life and let me lead you. So once again, so he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? This week, there should be a time in our lives where we say, God, okay, God, I have so many plans for my life, but God, really, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to say? Who do you want me to be? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless. You see what happens when the people around you see what's going on? This is a kind of a crazy instance, right? They see, or Saul sees this light. They see this whole thing. They see Saul talking, and then they see this transformation happening. Imagine what it did to those men that were with him. You know, we don't always get to see that in the Bible, but I'm like, man, this had to be something that probably changed their lives as well. It says, and the men who journeyed with them stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. See, he was disturbed because now he can't even see. And maybe in our lives, there's some things that we see that keep us from following what God wants to do. See, sometimes we have to be blinded in a sense so we can, sometimes you got to be in a situation to only see what God is going to do. I'm not going to say you have to be blinded. Sometimes you got to be in a place where you're saying, man, I don't see how this is going to work. And now you're like, okay, God, whatever you tell me to do, I'll do it. Yeah. Right? Sometimes you got to go through trials and tribulations. Because the Bible says the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Yeah. Perseverance, hope, character, right? Also, the testing of our faith builds us into being stronger. One of the things when you lift weights, the goal, even though, like, let's say if you start lifting and the next couple of days, you're going to be very sore, but the goal is to get stronger, right? So you might lift the same weight, but after a couple of weeks, you're like, man, I could do this more than I thought, right? You begin to get stronger. Trials and tribulations, though we don't want them, tests, though we don't want them and we think we don't need them, that's really what helps us grow stronger in our faith. Because it can make or break you, right? But Paul, after this, Saul didn't even eat for a while. I don't know about you. Sometimes maybe this was a fast that he had to go through to get rid of his old ways. I don't think it was mandatory. Maybe he couldn't see the food. I don't know. But I'm pretty sure he was disturbed. But it says, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. What do we see again? The same type of thing. What do you need me to do? Right? And it says, so the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying, and in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. But check this out. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard. Anybody ever says that about somebody? God, there's no way that person could be serving God, because I heard his story. Right? Their story precedes them. We don't even know what's going on, but they keep saying, I heard Paul. You mean Saul? The one that was persecuting, he says, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. Right? So Ananias is kind of having a question. Really, he's trying to gain clarity. Right? But then it says, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. See, one of the things that really makes us new is the Spirit of God. The more we are in tune with His Spirit, the more He's changing us. Amen. Right? The more we say, God, I need you. I need to be led by your Spirit. God, I'm listening to you. What do you want me to do? The more He's going to have us do. And sometimes it's going to take us out of our comfort zone. But that's not a bad thing. That's a trust thing. Amen? And Ananias went his way into the house, verse 18. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once. And he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. All right? So what we see is Saul and his transformation. He was transformed from what he was went out to do. He was on a mission. Everybody say a mission. He was on a mission to go get anybody that said they were of the way of Christ. Any follower of Christ, his job was to bind them. See, many times, even now, there may be people that have missions to bind Christians. There may be people that want to harm believers. Our prayer has to be, God, change them. Radically transform people that are out to do wrong so that you get the glory. God, shine a light while they're on the road. I don't know what you need to do, but God, whatever you can do, change their lives, because he wants to make people new. We as Christians cannot get so caught up in just praying for ourselves that we miss that there's still people that need to know God. There's still people that need to be made new. Right? Let's continue to read, and I'll read all the way through verse 30, and then we'll be done for today. It says, immediately he preached, and this is Paul, he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not? Come on, somebody say, is this not? Meaning, ain't this the same man? I don't know about you. If you ever watch a movie, you see another movie, you're like, hey, yo, hey, that's the guy that was in that one show. Like, that's what they're saying right now. Isn't that he? Is this not he who destroyed those who called on the name, on this name in Jerusalem? And he has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests. But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that Jesus is the Christ. Now, see, what God did was he took all the education that Saul had, right? And now he put it to the right thing. Remember, I told you earlier, there's some people that fight for the wrong things. But see, they already have the fighting spirit. They just need to get it into the right thing. Right? Paul was already a student of the law, student of the scriptures. So he was already, once he was enlightened by the Spirit of God, by Jesus himself, he was able to be able to show what the scriptures said and point them to Jesus. But it shows that God wants to, see, many times, I don't know about you, many times people get saved and they're like, I don't know what I have to offer. But before that, there was something that you were already doing. There was a gift. The Bible says that the gifts of God are without repentance, which means people already have these gifts in their lives even before they come to Christ. And God wants to use those things for his glory. Many times your gifts are the things that come easy or natural to you. Oh, can you do this? Oh, yeah, that's not that. I could do that pretty quick. Now, I'm not going to say that you can still learn your gifts, right? You can still be trained in them. But there are many times it's things that become easy to you or things you like to do, right? Markayla, if she wanted to, she can work somebody's social media because she always does it. It's easy to her, right? And she's like, okay, Dad, why you say something about me? Right? But that's easy. People get paid for that, right? There's many things that you can do, and Paul is an example of it. God used what he already knew, sanctified him, changed him, and allowed him to use that and empowered it. Amen? Now catch this. Verse 23, it says, now after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. So Saul goes out on a mission to kill all the people that are following Jesus. Then, after he starts sharing Jesus, he got people coming after him. But it says, but their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down through the wall in a large basket. Let's continue to read, and we'll be done shortly. And it says, and when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. This is tough. Because as leaders, they had to be careful. I don't think the disciples just did that for themselves. I think they did it for the people that they were around. As a shepherd, you can't just allow everybody around the sheep. Right? Because there are some people that say, hey, I'm of the way, and they ain't really with the way. They are not really rolling with the way. But what we see here is still Saul's old life. Something's not the same. That's what it can't be him. Can he really be saved? Listen, we want God to radically save people that same way. We're like, man, hey, you better watch that guy. Is he saved? We don't know. Why? Why? Because he came from a crazy lifestyle. But the great thing is that God, in all of his power, he does that a lot. Uses the foolish things, or even sometimes the foolish people that we think, I don't know about that person. He'll use that person for his glory. And the good thing about God, when he uses you, he doesn't throw you away. He's not using you up to just be like, all right, cool, that's enough for that guy. That's not what he's doing. He wants to use you, and he strengthens you as he does it. Then it says, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. So what we see is the transformation, but also the testimony of Saul becoming a new creation. Amen. And later on, his name is actually changed to Paul. I don't remember what chapter that happened in. But it's a few chapters after that, probably because they were like, hey, Saul is, if you say your name is Saul, they're going to remember. They're going to remember all the bad things you did. But his name was changed. And God did that a lot. Abram, his name was changed to Abraham. Jacob, his name was changed to Israel. He went from a scoundrel, right? That's what Jacob means, to becoming somebody that God used. Israel means like God saves, right? But God wants to change us to the point where people say, ah, man, that person ain't the same the way he used to be. And that's a testimony that we want to have. We want to have a testimony that God changed my life so much. And I know some of us weren't bad before we got saved. We didn't have crazy stories, but still God wants to transform you. Amen. God still wants to see people. People want to see how God has changed you. There should be still things that God is changing. So this week, let's say, God, make us new. I will continue on. I believe I'll continue on this series for next week. But we really want God to make us new. And the more that we're submitting to God and asking him to make us new, the more we'll begin to see that with people around us. Because that's really what we want to see. Amen. Somebody say, I am a new creation. Heavenly Father, I thank you to God for this time. God, I thank you for your word. I pray to God that your word was what we needed to hear today, dear God. I pray to God that it would transform us, that we would want to be made new, that we would want to walk in your ways. God, we give your name the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And let the church say, amen. God bless you, and may the Lord keep you.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.